Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Welcome. Hello, it's the One Show, the podcast that swings on a tire like a monkey, hurling its own feces at TV's The One Show, but not if that is in any way racist. We're certainly not going down the path marked Danny Baker.
I actually pushed away from the microphone.
I saw that.
Totally.
You physically distanced yourself.
That was a proper self-preservation muscle memory.
I am John Holmes, and we're here again, and once again, to take the televisual tiller, pilot you through the latest week's worth of celebrity chat and dull films about salmon breeding that make up the nation's flagship bottom-shelf magazine programme. That bleep there was Mark turning the air conditioning off. This week...
I've been really disruptive in this opening. I'm sorry.
I think it's added to it. This week, Joe Pasquale. Instigates quite a lot of penis chat. A drunk woman falls down some stairs and when 122 goats attack. Joining me to flick the One Show's ear in the playground this week, a regular The One Show regular, Mark Haynes, and music broadcaster, journalist, and the best bit about Johnny Vaughan's show on Radio X. Oh. It's our old XFM pal, Sunter Temple, today.
Yay. Hey. Hi.
Slurs.
Thanks, Mark.
How are you?
I'm very well. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, was it a pleasure to watch The One?
No.
No.
It was awful. I've never seen it before, and I plan to never watch it again.
No, and you won't have to until we invite you back.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, you might not.
Yeah, we'll see. How that goes. So that's interesting because never ever having experienced it before. So you know of it, you know what it is, I
yes.
suppose. What did you make of it? Because you watched all of them.
Yes.
To be clear, every single one.
I did all my homework.
What did you make of it overall?
I am absolutely distraught with how the BBC spends my licence fee. I am furious.
Right. Which was there one specific moment that made you more furious than others?
It's hard to pin it down. I think probably because I actually messaged you after the first 8.5 minutes of Monday.
That's right.
When I'd watched some people I don't know or care about put their children in clothes and get out of the house.
One of the great VTs.
And
this
I was
week.
Like, what? Why are people doing this?
Well, The One Show's rigged two family homes with cameras to see just what it takes to get out the door on a typical school day.
This is the end of society on TV.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we obviously have to watch it now, but it was, as you said, Mark, a classic One Show. Put some cameras in the houses of families because families watching will recognise themselves within the routines of the early mornings. And It was pointless.
It was so pointless.
They obviously have tied it in with the fact that I think Monday was the day they announced the royal baby had been born.
Yes.
And royal baby, 2019. I'm still saying royal baby. A baby had been born. And they'd obviously gone through the thing and sort of gone, what films do we have about children? And I think there was that sense of the one show going, aha, this is very funny, because people will be saying, what will the Duke and Duchess of Sussex be like? With Well, this is the reality of it. Yeah. And it was like, you know when couples break up and the dad goes berserk and in like, you know, 2 years' time they'll be in court and it will turn out that he'd installed cameras all over the house to make sure his wife wasn't having sex with his friends, right? It was that. And I was just watching these children in the morning getting ready, like I'd had a one-night stand with one of the mums. And I was seeing these kids come down that I've never seen before and just going, all right, yeah, they're having
sort of fitting into their routine. And because the cameras are there, they're quite awkward around the cameras, like they would be indeed if you'd just put yours in their mum.
Mum, listen, the girls will be late, won't they? Come on!
It was exactly like that.
I liked the bit where they opened it and they said it's even harder for one family because they've got 16 guinea pigs.
I know, why would you have that many guinea pigs?
Put the children into care. But also, they never mentioned the guinea pigs again.
No.
Pigs.
They also had, did you notice the rest of the menagerie in that house?
There was chickens.
Chickens, turtle.
Yeah.
There was a shot of a turtle.
There was a lizard at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
She's running an illegal petting zoo. That's essentially what's going on there. As soon as the kids are gone, she's charging a quid on the door for everyone to come in and have a look.
And there's Dad with his cameras just going, is she fucking the animals? Is she? What's he doing?
Also, did you notice the slightly posher household with the triplets?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At one point, she put the three triplets in all-in-one plastic hazmat suits whilst they ate their breakfast.
Do you know what? I saw that and I hadn't taken it in until you just said it because it was so weird in retrospect.
It was so weird.
Oh, yeah, you might know me. Remember me? I'm Ripley, Ellen Ripley from Alien. And these are my children. How strange.
It's really odd.
The thing is, as a father of children that are spilling the cereal when they're already dressed and they've got to go to school, so it's going to be a nightmare. I took that as advice. I'm like, this is an amazing life. Of course, put them in hazmat
not
suits.
Over the heads. Not, don't put the plastic over the heads. One of the kids, just in case you weren't sure whether there was like a poor family and a better off family, one of the children was called Maximus.
Yes.
Maximus.
Yes.
Man.
And not only that, just to really hit it home, the narration was very fond of telling us that one of them was a single mother.
Yes.
Did you notice
every
how many times?
Yep.
Over at the Scrivens house, single mum Emma is the only one up. They have an hour and a half until go time.
Alexa, play my morning playlist.
Sorry, something went wrong.
Story of my life, that Alexa.
So beginning, single mother, whatever her name was, as doing this in the morning with her children, and then fine, shows a thing, cut to the posh family, back to the other one, single mother. It just kept reiterating
it. Really did, but it also didn't sort of go, you know, what would actually make the quality of your life better? Is there anything that could be done to improve this? They were just like, this is it, watch it, it's over now, done.
Deal with it,
done.
Deal with it.
Those families must look back on that and sort of go, was that a scam? I mean, I don't know why they were around here. They just said they wanted to see what we did in the morning. And that's what they did.
Which is essentially perverted.
Oh, yes. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Next week, I'm hoping we're going to see what it's like having teenage girls.
All right, Sam.
It's really important that...
I'm backing away from the table now.
It's really important we understand their night routine. About how they bathe, how they clean their... You know,
oh, you've not changed.
I'm glad you're getting flack this week. Last week, I got this kind of flack from Julia Rayside. But this week, you're getting it.
Yeah, so well, Sunter and I worked together for years. I think 15 years now. It's crazy.
Oh,
we've known each other. So Sunter is well-versed in this. Yeah. One thing it did teach me, this piece, is it started off with a piece of Michael McIntyre.
Yeah.
Michael McIntyre talking about like what it's like to have kids and leave the house.
Lucas, Oscar, come downstairs.
Parents up and down the country will identify with this famous Michael McIntyre sketch.
I'm talking about things like leaving the house, for example. This is how people without children leave the house. Shall we leave the house? Yes. This is how I leave the house almost every day. Lucas! Oscar! Come downstairs! We're late!
And I've had a kid recently, and I always used to watch that Michael McIntyre stuff and just go, this is just, it's so root one and basic, and I sort of hate it. And since having kids, I realised I was right. I'm really pleased. I can't be told that, no, you just don't understand because you got kids. I hate it.
Yeah, okay.
I hate it. So this piece taught me nothing, and it also made me hate Michael McIntyre. Well done, the one show.
Yeah.
Did you notice what happened just before we went into this film? So Joe Pasquale was the guest. How excited was he about being on the one show?
Yes.
Can you see I'm grinning all over my face?
Why?
Because it's the one show. I'm on the one show. Oh. I really like the one show. Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I'm like a raging Viking. I've got loads of kids. I'm like a raging Viking.
you've got five and they're all grown up.
Yeah, but they're all grown up. They're all older than me now because I'm like Benjamin Button. And I spent most of my time on a Viking longboat, so it doesn't really matter. I don't see a lot of them because I'm on the longboat most of the time. But I'm on the one show. It's great, isn't it?
It's happy.
I know.
And Laurie, we just want to... He kept going on about it like, everyone, I'm on the one show. I'm on the one show. And well, yeah, we know. We can see you there on that hideous couch looking very pleased with yourself. Also having done that weird stripping thing at the beginning, throwing stuff over the...
That was
odd.
So there was a screen, like a dressing screen, dressing room screen, and Matt and Angelica Bell, for she's still on it, this is week two of her 3-week stint while Alex is off, were in front of it, and then clothes just came over the top, and they were describing, even though we could see what they were catching, they were just describing them.
Yes.
Well, let's see what they're taking off, shall we?
Yeah.
We might get a few clues. Oh, what have we got here? Oh, very about, what's this?
Kathy's cafe apron. Could it be from the square?
Very good, you can have that, my dear. Oh, thank you. Oh, two outfits! Oh, yes it is.
Oh, yes it is. Yeah. Let's have what we got.
What else?
Ah. Yeah. Oh, I see. An I Heart Ian Beale t-shirt. Are you getting warmer?
And anything else back there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, the snake's falling out of the boxer shorts. Hang on, what's this? King of the Jungle. King of the Jungle. Any thoughts?
Yeah, any thoughts on our guests?
Pair of King of the Jungle boxer shorts.
With a snake falling out of them.
Yeah, they made a lot of that. And this was Pasquale really is on that thing of just going, do you know what is hilarious?
Yeah.
Male genitals.
Yeah.
Going through that you were doing this. What was his thoughts?
Do this. I said, Dad, I'm doing this, get me winkle out. And he said, why do you want to get your winkle out? Because that's why, when I was a kid, right, that's what I did all the time. Most kids do, you know. But I was 17 at the time. But it's the only time you can do it legally now. So I said, yeah, I'm up for that then.
I will keep on referencing this until Matt cracks.
Well, they proved that scientifically by the end of the show as well.
They did.
They actually did claim, basically, to be funny, say penis.
Yeah.
That's it.
What are the results there, Sophie? What are they tell us?
Oh, I'm afraid it tells us definitely the saying winkle is funny.
Which was odd for the ones, because it was sort of end of the peery sort of Joe Pasquale saying the word, was it winky or winkle?
Winkle.
It was winkle.
Yeah. He said Willy at one point.
Willy,
as well.
Yeah.
There
was probably told off for that, I imagine. Yeah. Go back to Winkle.
He said motherfucker twice.
Call Matt a cunt. You didn't get in trouble for that one, weirdly. But that was fine. But yeah, he kept banging on about it because he's doing he's in the full Monty or the
all
new
thing. Feel like Monty, they didn't explain what that show was at all.
No.
I was really confused. Seemed to be two different names for it, two different shows. Are they doing a strip? Are they not? Is it for cancer or not?
They showed a tiny clip of it. And as far as I can understand, this is just they hired out some working men's club. And then Rav Wilding, who used to be on Crime Watch in the mornings, not the really good one, came out dressed as a plumber and showed you his balls.
Yeah.
That seemed to be what the show is.
The Basildon Bingo girls have no idea what's about to hit them.
And they sort of go, and don't forget, of course, this is about cancer.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it?
Is this a new treatment, is it? You can have chemotherapy or Ralph Wilding will come and shake his junk at you. Which has got the better chance of working? Probably the chemo.
Yeah,
but try them both.
Yeah.
But yeah, because now Joe Pasquale's dad, so there was a slightly awkward chat here where Joe Pasquale was talking about his dad who died of prostate cancer, right?
Gotcha,
So he was explaining that to Matt. And Matt, of course, was doing the face that he does when something sad is happening. Oh. And he said, oh, sorry, I'm sorry. Like that. But Joe was just doing it in serious series of jokes.
Yeah.
Which was fine. It was a good way to deal with it. But then he just started going on about, Matt was going, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, he just kept farting. Yeah. He just kept farting all over the house.
See that photo there? He just farted.
And Matt did not know how to respond.
Well, mine was my dad had prostate cancer. He's had it. He'd got it about 25 years ago. Then got rid of it, came back quite aggressively, and sadly, he passed away 2 weeks ago before he sees the show, which is a... We did a little interview.
There he is.
Got a picture.
There.
Oh, look, he's quite happy there. Aww. He'd just blown off as well then, that's why he was laughing.
Oh, sure.
He did. He was always... Oh, God, honestly, it was like yak every 5 minutes. I bought him a parrot once, right? This parrot, it's called Jojo, this parrot, because, you know, parrots, it's an African grey, and once he got too ill to look after parrots, so I took over it. And all it does is sit there going like that. Because he listened to him blow off so many times. Like, hello, Jojo. He goes like that. Oh. Anyway, he passed away. That's beside the point.
And he knew. He hadn't got a clue what tone to take.
It's quite funny when you see them panicking because they don't shut it down and go, all right, Joe, you know, don't forget, you know, our family's watching.
Yeah.
You know, let's tone it down. They just go.
And it's just their eyes start darting around the room.
And the quieter they go, the more Joe Pasquale has to fill. So he's just going, oh, man, I've got my willy out. I've got this out. I'm doing that with my willy. Quieter.
On and on.
Both of them getting up slowly, leaving.
Every time he could mention a willy, he just did it.
Yes.
All the time. When they did that film, you were talking about that. Oh, you're gonna like this, Joe. It's a film about measuring comedy.
Yeah.
So they had this researcher on who just measures muscle changes.
Yeah, how your breath changes when you laugh, essentially, I think.
And they filmed it at the Bloomsbury Theatre, a bit of this film and stuff with a couple of comics, and then went back to the studio where they had some people standing behind Joe Pasquale for this, one of whom had
the T-shirt. Oh, my
This
God.
Was the second inappropriate T-shirt of the week.
I didn't see
amazing.
The T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It was a woman wearing a T-shirt with two hands covering her breasts.
Cupping, like... I'm going to say groping.
Groping.
Is that your, like, best piece of clothing that you wear on telly? You're going to be on TV, on national TV.
Yeah.
I better get the good T-shirt then.
But also, somebody chose her to stand in that position. Yeah.
So
right
crazy.
Behind him.
She's standing behind Joe. So all you can't even see her head because that's out of frame. So all you see right behind Joe while he's banging on about penises is just this gropey tit woman with a really inappropriate one show time of night
I'd
T-shirt.
I'd love it if they move the camera slightly and it wasn't a design. It was like the fan. Pie flinger from Tiswald.
One of the cameramen looking round. Yeah, come on, BBC. It used to be like this.
So all in all, Monday was quite a seedy show.
It was, because then Joe said, tell us jokes, tell us funny jokes.
They'd ask,
read out jokes from the...
Twitter. Yeah. They'd put out a call out on Twitter for jokes. And I tell you what, we don't normally talk about this before we start doing it because, you know, we save it for air. But we did have a chat today about the fact that I'd seen on a show where they were doing recreating photos 30 years apart. Listeners had sent them in. Yeah. And a woman had sent it in going, here's me and my sister 30 years apart. And in the top one, this woman was wearing a T-shirt that said, enjoy cocaine, right? Like the old Coca-Cola logo done. And they were the people who obviously work at the one show are so sort of young and squeaky clean that they wouldn't have seen that and gone, hang on, is that one of those enjoy cocaine T-shirts?
Yeah, that used to be around. Yeah.
So it clearly said enjoy cocaine. And there they are, 30 years up, marvellous. Isn't that lovely? You know,
and
the word cocaine on BBC One.
Yeah. And also, having worked to the BBC, as we have, right, the slightest mention of something involving drugs is subject to all sorts of compliance,
massively.
Right? And if you even say so much as, are you high or, you know, anything like that will get shut down because it's condoning drugs.
Would you like some ketamine?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, you know, which is always cut out of question time. but literally, the one show are saying, enjoy cocaine. But nobody bats an eyelid.
Yeah.
And then Joe Pasquale did possibly his most risque joke.
And then the other end, you go, oh, no, but you know what you really want? What you want is I want to see a picture of a film last week because a remake of My Left Foot and Free Willy is called My Free Foot Willy, right? That gets a bigger laugh than the one there because it's got Willy involved in it. That's the science behind it.
Okay.
The science. Get
Willy. Oh, surfing your ear with some text.
Yeah.
A remake of My Left Foot and Free Willy.
Worth saying, both of those films are at least 35 years old. This is not a new joke by any means. If you are under 35, you'd listen to that and just go, I don't know what that string of words means.
There.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and the Ballet podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Hey,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My free foot Willie.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. That
but
was his punchline.
They get the listeners, obviously, to tweet in these things. Again, you've just got this sense of people are...
Viewers, Mark. Are you suggesting that people just...
One showers. They got them to send in their own jokes. And I think, again, the process of choosing these has gone to people who are too young. And what they are is just bad jokes. And I'm sure there were loads that were how did you get a Polish girl pregnant? No, gone. But I mean, some of them were, I think people had made them up themselves. Other ones were, what was the, what do you call a woman on a bathroom floor singing?
There's a young, this is from Donna Geordie Moore from Facebook. There's a young lady grouting in the bathroom singing, it's a heartache, nothing but a fool's game. I think she's a Bonnie Tyler. That's a groan.
Yeah, okay, that's a good start. Well, that's the bar.
Reaction. Okay.
Yeah.
And they didn't even choose like holding out for a hero. But again, you'd go, okay, I can see that.
Again, not a very current reference.
No, the word Bonnie not used very much. No. Bonnie Tyler totally forgotten. And is it a joke? It's not really a joke. The second one was I was having a wedding and the organizer said, "Do you want canapés?" And I said, "No, I don't think it's going to rain." So the joke there being canapés and canopies, the sort of thing that, you know...
Mild wordplay.
I mean, it's very mild, isn't it? And the third one was, how does Batman get Robin in for his fucking dinner? I mean, that's sent by Callum, who's three. and again, it's that thing of just going, these will do. Mm. Don't do it. If it's not going to work... Yeah. Don't do it.
But also, the idea, because they split the screen at this point, didn't they? So the people, including Tit Grab T-shirt woman,
yes,
behind, who, I don't know who they were, the idea was they were wired up. And according to what joke was funniest, then the split screen had a graph thing on the other side, you know, like measuring muscle waves or whatever it is. I'm not a doctor.
I'll put my trousers back on.
And that wasn't a thermometer. So it was my free foot Willy. What? So each of those jokes registered nothing on the graph. I mean, they didn't change. It was a point that it didn't work. And then he did his rude joke. And you're right, Sunter. It's scientifically proved that the word Willy and Winkle and genitals are funny.
Yeah.
On the television. About 7:25.
And that's when they finished the show. High. Yep. Wonderful. Yep.
It was strange, wasn't it? It was a sort of childish and smutty episode. Joe Pasquale as well, he's the master of sounding like he's saying something funny because of the way he delivers it.
Yeah.
And when he's just going, oh, I'm on the one show. If you were just going, I'm on the one show, you'd go, right, this guy needs to be sectioned. But it's a really funny thing of just not actually doing very much. But sounding like, you know, you'd go back and go afterwards, oh, he obviously, you know, he's really funny. Why?
I've got a question. Mm. How do you make a Polish girl pregnant?
You come on her shoes and let the flies do the rest.
Thanks.
Right. This is an old... No, I mean, that's disgusting. That's actually a joke from a classic like thing for me, which is truly tasteless jokes, which were done by, I think it was obviously a pseudonym, which is Blanche Knott. And we used to run that as a feature. There was a brief period where Paul Tonkinson did a couple of weeks as the breakfast host between Lauren Laverne and Alex Zane.
On XFM, yeah.
And we had a great feature, which I loved, which was he'd seen this. I brought this book in and he was like, that is absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. So we used to have that as a feature where you'd ring in and he'd say, so I'll tell you the feed line. If you want to know the answer, just ring in during the ad break. And he'd sort of go, so how do you make a Polish girl pregnant? All right, XFM. And then the phone would start going and he'd just, hello, XFM. You come on the shoes and let the flies do the rest. Hello, XFM. You come on a shoes and you got flies to the rest.
Oh,
horrible.
The
but also, American joke books are Polish as a sort of, you know, they were supposed to be dumb. Really weird stereotype.
This has trailed off now, hasn't it? But we used to do a similar feature on X, actually, where what I'd do is you'd set the punchline up on air, but if you wanted the punchline, you had to download the podcast, but they were never put together. So both out of context, like that, were absolutely kind of fine.
We should somehow break this up into three separate podcasts that you have to play simultaneously to actually hear it.
Watching the one show, like Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz, everything ties in. Joe Pasquale, the other thing I was going to mention about him was he's a lovely man, right? Mm. I've interviewed him a few times over the years, and he struck me as an absolutely lovely person. But years ago, when I used to work in a theatre before all this nonsense, I would come and do his one-man show. And every time he did, he was, you know, he was nice, the nicest person to the crew, knew everyone's names, you know, made that effort that people often don't. And I remember one time he came up to the lighting box where our boss Martin used to have a stash of, this dates it, pornographic magazines.
Wow.
Right, and he'd go through them, and I remember sitting there and Joe Pasquale just told me an entire plot line and anecdote about that his mate had got him from Amsterdam. So all I can hear whenever I see Joe Pasquale is,
Honestly, you will, as the listeners, you'll have heard quite a lot of that was bleeped out because it's unsubstantiated. But if you do want to know what the words were, just ring us.
The lines are open now.
As soon as we get to the ad break in this podcast, call in. This show had a really weird video, which was the story of Trevor Horn and Seal.
Oh, yeah.
This was Angelica Bell's stab at domination, though, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
We talked about this last week, where she's definitely trying to get Alex's job should Alex love her baby too much to come back.
Right.
As Julia said. Last week, and this was her film.
It was, yeah. And I've, it was just bizarre because it was just Seal and the producer Trevor Horn talking about how they met each other.
London-born Seal is a global star, singer and songwriter. He's based in LA, but there's always a welcome here at his home from home. His close friend is music producer Trevor Horn, who first found fame with Buggles.
I mean, I don't really know anything. They're not like people who you hear a lot about. You know the name. So for them to be sort of going, well, here's the true story of how Seal and I met when he was... what? I didn't know there was a connection. I didn't know there was a connection at all. But what I was thinking is, I think, why is this in here, right? Yeah. And this was the episode where the baby Archie was born, to great rejoicing around the nation, apart from in Blackheath where Danny Baker lived. And they had the film about what it's like when you've got children. Mm. And then they had this Seal video. And I thought, is it because, and I can't work out why it's there. It had no reason to be. And I was thinking, is it because someone typed in something like a prince, and they were like, you get Seal up, and you should go, he's kind of like Prince. He's so close. I don't know.
Oh,
I couldn't
work
it out. But there's an album coming out, which is Trevor Horn Reimagines the
80s. Right. Yeah.
Trevor Horn is a producer. A lot of that is his.
Yeah, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, that sort of thing.
And I just thought, wouldn't it be great if he's reimagining the 80s? It's just the same album, except there's a note on the back saying, all the mines are still open, and none of us know what a credit card is. Done.
I thought it was really odd when they were chatting and Angelica was sat on the floor. There was like plenty of chairs in the room.
Yeah.
For some reason, she kind of knelt in between them, kind of like, I mean, she went a little bit groupy and a bit like...
She did.
And a bit handsy with Seal at one point.
And afterwards,
as well,
she was saying to Matt, oh, I got to go out for lunch with them afterwards as well. It was just amazing.
Yeah, she was so excited.
Oh, Oh, I like the sound of that.
It was
so lucky to be there.
Listen, I literally was in the studio hearing Seal sing, and you know he's got that distinctive, silky voice. It was incredible. And then I just sat down and had lunch with both Trevor and Mark. It was like,
as you do.
It was amazing. Thank you to Trevor and Seal. Trevor Horn Reimagines the 80s is out now.
Yeah.
Oddly, I think there's probably more face and name recognition for Angelica Bell than there is for Trevor Horn and Seal. I'm not saying that's right, but it just seemed a weird thing to be going, my job has got me in there, and do you know, I acted like a total fan.
Yes, there was no professionalism at all.
No, it's very strange.
I didn't know whether this was an off-the-shelf or not, so I couldn't decide whether, because Angelica is doing her stint, they've sent her out to do something, or they've had an Angelica Bell film sitting on the shelf for a while, and so that was the time to play it.
Yeah, possibly. Because Alex is going to make it clear when she comes back, there is never going to be a reference to Angelica Bell again. She's going to be like Stalin.
Well, let's talk about Tuesday. I mean, let's do it for once in a sort of weird order. Tuesday. Any highlights? Anything stand out for you?
We had the Russells.
They introduced them and they just went, we're going double Russell tonight. Yeah. I don't know what phrase that's based on.
It's certainly something Russell T. Davies will know about.
He was great.
He's always great.
He was so sort of absolutely the right guest in any circumstances. Yeah. He just lifted it a bit by being like an adult.
Yes.
You know, and talking to them like they were kids, but he was trying to amuse the crew, which is always good.
Yeah, Where do you have them? Do you have them at home?
I've had to build a separate wing now. We had a charge admission as well, so.
How many BAFTAs have you got?
Five.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. Legend. We didn't come on for this.
Yeah. This is terrible.
We're into it.
If you were going to write down the five most obvious questions you could possibly think of, what was that like? Who's your best friend? What's your favourite colour? Where do you keep your awards? Is it in the downstairs loo? It's so predictable.
Although there was a kind of jarring one show moment, as they have here, where they are talking about BAFTAs and awards and showbiz and how wonderful it all is and who you've worked with and what your projects are and so on and so forth. And then they had to cut to a film about poverty and food banks again.
It's
sort of like, that's kind of jarring.
Although they did do a clever thing there, which is, instead of going straight into that, they played the wrong film. which was about UFOs.
Okay, now for our first film tonight, we're going to be visiting our friends at the L6 Community Centre in Everton and the inspirational team helping those who were struggling to make ends meet.
Now, in the past, we've seen how they fundraised and received donations from local businesses and residents, which means they can give out free school uniforms and Christmas presents. Now they've used the same methods to help stock a whole shop. Kevin was there on opening day.
Most UFO sightings are little more than fast-moving, bright lights.
Slight problem.
we're talking about sci-fi tonight.
We're talking about sci-fi. And that wasn't the right film, but we're going to play the right one now.
Here we go. The L6 Community Centre.
I mean, that couldn't have been any better. You sort of go, it is a difficult handbrake turn. What should we do? Let's fuck it up. Great. Well done.
Yeah.
And then they both freaked out. They kept looking at each other. That's not... Yeah. And we're talking about aliens.
And they started the film as Matt was going, no, that's something we're playing later on.
Cutting him straight off. Yeah. It was... I've never seen that before. And again, we've watched a lot of this, but I've never seen them put the wrong VT on before. And it was... And it went on for not long, but long enough that you're thinking, has no one noticed this?
Yeah.
Because I was... Obviously, I didn't know it was the wrong film. I'm thinking, how is this going to link to...
It's called
The A70 Aliens. Yeah. And you just told me it was about food poverty. Yeah,
I did like that Matt sort of, he said, that's the wrong film. And I was like, to be honest, Michael Douglas on UFOs is never the right film, is it? They did just sort of stop it. But then I began thinking, is this a sort of like, because the one show's been a bit meta recently, and they've had things where they've had like an intermission because the Avengers, they were saying it's too long. And so they had an intermission in the middle of the hour-long show last week where it was just playing little bits of music. And I thought, have they got really meta? And is it this thing where they're going, it's this sort of like a paranormal show and it's all super... No, just the wrong fucking film. Yeah. It's always good when you're doing a thing about the unknown, and really the only thing we know about it is that whoever is in charge of pressing the fucking buttons can't do their job.
They probably nodded off. There was a point, actually, when Angelica tried to ask a question to Russell Tovoy and she completely got the words in the wrong order. Did you notice that?
This was marvellous, yes.
She said... I'm not going to call you ears, Russell.
Yes.
You've got Broadway written all over it, haven't it, for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he looked at her like, I'm sorry, what?
They were also doing that really weird thing because he's like on Broadway. He's a great actor, yes. Toby. You see him in a lot of stuff and he's been working for years and he's great. And they really had that thing of going, oh, you know, what are you doing on Broadway? I mean, you must be like, this is just unbelievable. No, he's an actor. It's a place where you work. It's He mentioned History Boys, originally a stage production, gave the world James Corden. I watched that film about 6 months ago. Mm. And post Me Too and Savile, that will never, ever, ever have a West End run again.
Really?
Go back and watch it.
I've never seen it.
Really? I mean, basically what it's about
James Corden fucks corpses.
it's basically about how wonderful it is when teenage boys fall in love with elderly teachers who are men. And it's all about how wonderful that relationship is. And I watched it, honestly, and the end bit where I think one of the teachers goes off with the elderly teacher on a motorbike and everyone cheers and gets misty-eyed. It's totally and completely unacceptable. Go and watch it this week. We'll talk about it next week.
We'll do a sodcast. Let's do a sodcast.
That's really homophobic, even for you.
Let's call it sodcast then and talk about...
But yeah, watch the History Boys.
Let's get Russell T Davies.
It's a funny thing because you see the guys on the one show and they're just like, History Boys is so amazing. Yeah. And you go, yeah, you haven't seen this for a long, long time, have you?
Wow.
You know, there's like, you've been reading Jimmy Savile's book about
God
and his beliefs.
Wow.
Honestly, it's I mean, years out of print, but it's Jimmy Savile. It came out in 1978, and it's him talking, and it's published by the Christian Bookshop. So they got him to write this thing about his relationship with God, who he abuses.
God was in hospital.
Jesus, he's dead. You see, he's in the tomb. I've got the keys to the tomb. But it's basically a confession. I mean, it's if you now read it with hindsight, it's a confession. It just sort of says, I know I do bad things, and I do, but I figure that if I do charity, when I get to the pearly gates, it will have all evened out. And it's all there.
Wow.
If you pick that up in like the 70s, you'd read it and you go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's only like the hindsight that you go back. I really found the same thing with History Boys. It's really odd to watch now.
Yeah. There was a handbrake turn going into this and where Russell Tovey's nickname at school was Ears.
Yes.
And Matt said, which I thought, I don't think it was scripted either. I don't think it was a script one. I think he just did this.
Uh-huh.
So kudos to Matt Baker because I don't think they knew his nickname was Ears. I might be wrong.
Oh,
they
yes. Yeah.
Pre-done it, but he just sort of said, well, never mind about Ears. We're going to be talking about ears and your ears.
People call me Ears for some reason.
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
Why? Do you mind that?
I quite like it.
Oh, you've got nice cute ears.
Well, it's not about ears, but we're going to be talking about years and years.
Years and Years is the film that they were on to talk about.
Yes.
I was like, okay. Yeah. All right. Nice turn.
Baker's awake.
Yeah.
this whole episode for me was made by the film about UFOs. Presented by, they don't even call him celebrity hairdresser Michael Douglas anymore.
No.
They just say Michael Douglas is here.
Most UFO sightings are little more than fast-moving bright lights in the sky. But not all.
It started with the model by Kraftwerk.
By Kraftwerk.
I mean,
completely inappropriate.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Like, there were so many other songs they could have gone with. A Bowie song.
Yeah.
They could have gone with Babylon Zoo.
Yeah.
They could have, there was any
theme to
other
the X-Files, anything.
Now, they went with this one, which specifically reiterates again and again and again, it's about a model. Right? What the fuck? Someone's obviously listened to that and gone, that sounds like space age music. It doesn't. It's just a weird choice. It then cuts to Michael Douglas, who most of the pieces to camera in this were filmed in a farm in North Lanarkshire. The farm had nothing to do with the story whatsoever. And he was wearing a really distracting hat that looked like it had been donated to like a soup kitchen. And it had some letters on it and it was blue and orange and white. It was, again, not appropriate television wear.
No.
And it was a story about two guys who in 1992, they were near a reservoir in South Lanarkshire.
In 1992, ambulance mechanic Gary and his friend Colin revealed that not only had they seen a UFO, but they'd been taken on board and examined by its alien occupants.
What are they doing, Colin? Talk to me.
Trenton, please.
so British. Colin and Gary. And Colin and Gary believe that they were abducted by a UFO.
Yeah.
Gary, I think, said that they were stripped and examined, and then they returned a few hours later back to the car. I mean, it always sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
It's utter bollocks.
Well, beyond that, but it's always two blokes of a certain age in a very rural area that could be a bit doggingy, and they come back later than they said they would, and they go, something's been up my bum. I don't know. Bit of a rum do, this.
We got abducted and forced to appear in the History Boy. And so that brings us to the end of part one of this week's The One Show show. Part two will be hanging round outside your chosen podcast platform gates tomorrow, waiting to duff you up. Please, for the love of God, rate and review us on iTunes, because you're all we've got. Why not follow us on Twitter, along with loads of people who genuinely think our Twitter feed is the real One Show one. I love that. Did you say Angelica Bell tweeted us?
Someone asked her where she got her top, and they added us in. And so, yes, Angelica Bell is now an official proponent of this nasty little show.
We're at The One Show show. See you tomorrow.
The fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of going out. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes. We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Ag McParlin got shot in the face with a paintball. In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular. The Fear. And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
Great Big Owl.